when I tell people I come from Cuba, they just immediately get this smile on their face, this little twinkle in their eye, like something that they did, like a memory of something they did. Maybe it was dancing on top of a bar after it's been closed, or maybe the music and all the steps, so hard to keep up with them and so impossible to resist. I guess when you're born in a place like that, you never really manage to escape the intensity that comes with a tropical island that's constantly being pounded by hurricanes and politics and rhythm and hunger and curiosity and routine and natural joy. It's a country with so many different contrasting forces and so much beauty and so much sadness. Cuba's a total overload for the senses. It's a sensual place. I guess Paris makes a lot of sense when you come from Cuba. I love wandering around aimlessly in Paris. This is one of the most beautiful cities in the world, and I've been to a lot of cities as I've been touring. I always think there's going to be something, I'm going to see something, I'm going to smell something, I'm going to eat something. There's going to be something to take back home with me. There's always something everywhere. It's really a kind of surrender to the beauty. What I love about Paris is you can take the same street every day, and depending on the weather, on the clouds, on the mood, on the light, you can have a completely different experience. I walk down the same streets very often, and sometimes I'll see a shop or I'll notice something that I've never seen before. And that's what I'm looking for.
And the feeling that I'm walking backwards, but I'm getting there. Going home.
One day, on a walk, I walked down a beautiful little cobblestone street in the Saint-Germain area by the Saint-Sulpice church. And on this street, I got this smell. It was like something was flying around me. There was a smell. And I followed it. And it went straight to a little boutique, a perfume boutique called Lubin. Now, Lubin apparently is a perfumer from like the 1780s or something who was making perfumes for Marie Antoinette. And this perfumer left his recipes, I guess, if you call it that, for perfumes. And so some of them are still being reproduced. And they had one smell, which is the one that was calling me. And it was rum and cumin and saffron and bitter orange and sugar, palm tree and leather and sandalwood. It was my entire history in a smell. It smelled like impulsiveness and adventure and fearlessness and desire. I mean, they nailed it. When I saw the bottle, I understood it was going to be my skin. It was going to wear me forever, I thought, until I met another perfume. But at the moment, that was the one. That was the smell. It was obsession at first sniff. My nose was completely drunk on that sugary rum, and I just felt like I was raiding a pirate's spice cabinet or something. You know, smells are immediate, undeniable. They materialize emotions and memories. They take you back faster than a picture. They take you back faster than a sound. A smell grips you in its invisible fingers and just leads you down a corridor in your memories, and you're gone, you're there. I was in Cuba. I was buying the bottle, which was way too expensive. But, you know, you can always be late on rent, but never low on perfume. Anyway, I got the bottle. The perfume was called Idolo. And I recently wrote a song about the influence of the smell. It's called Bitter Orange. The bottles, actually, because I feel like they're witnesses to time past, to life lived and moments created under the influence of the smell. It's like these little bottles that I held in my hand are kind of like little friends that I can't let go of. I kind of learned French in that perfume. I made mistakes wearing this perfume. I rode along the Seine in a vintage Vespa, wearing this perfume, while it trailed behind me. I doused myself with the possibility of new love in that perfume. Until one day, I smelled something else.
Wearing French perfume.
Her name was Florence, and she had booked me to sing for her wedding in Biarritz. When I met her, the first thing that had struck me about her was her smell, her perfume. I was spellbound. I asked her what her scent was, and she said that she would tell me after the wedding. It's like a French superstition, I guess. Anyway, all the meetings I had with her, I was always looking forward to smelling her. And I always knew there was like this delayed gratification that would come the day of her wedding. Like she would get married and then I would find out what perfume she's wearing and everybody's happy. And here it was. It's wedding night. I'm on stage singing. And every time she danced around in front of me, her perfume would spread its invisible wings and diffuse its incandescent sensuality all around me. And I would breathe it in deeply, trying to hold it in my lungs like something that I borrowed and I didn't want to return. The wedding was over. And she gave me the name of the perfume, Straight to Heaven. And there I went the next day, straight to the perfume store. The perfume was made by someone named Killian Hennessy. What a name, huh? He's a direct descendant to Richard Hennessy, the cognac maker born in Ireland in the 17th century. And as a side note, my husband and I both wore this perfume for our wedding. And our son's name is now Killian. If I'd known that these promenades in Paris would lead me from one boutique to the next, looking for the perfume, looking for that smell that just feels like me, but also smells now like my husband and carries my son's name, I would smell it all over again.
And I miss your smell.